Cinephile. Oftentimes, we love discussing the Oscars and saying, what's the greatest miscarriage of justice? People love saying, all right, what should have won Best Picture that did? You know, Ordinary People over Raging Bull, Dances with Wolves over Goodfellas, Pulp Fiction losing to Forrest Gump.
Oh, my goodness. Warren Beatty apparently read the wrong name. This is incredible. Moonlight won Best Picture.
Cinephile. What do you say to those critics who say, listen, Jerry Bruckheimer's movies make a ton of money, but they lack the substance and quality of classic cinema?
No, I make movies for audiences, for popular culture. Same person who likes My Dinner with Andre is not going to like Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm thrilled to have Jeremy Renner with us. Is there any kind of friendly competitiveness on set with you guys?
Cinephile. I think there's this more suit envy.
The great and lovely and talented Jessica Alba is here with us in studio. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
The great Richard Lewis is joining us. At what point did you find that voice? Did you realize you could channel all this pain into humor? It'd be the Prince of Pain.
I was about 5 hours old, and I was being put down by my family.
Cinephile. Does Adnan Virk look like the undercover CIA agent who saves James Bond by killing a crime boss's henchman, smiles wide, extends his hand, and says to 007, "Welcome to Tangier."
Cinephile, the Adnan Virk movie podcast.
Special guest in studio today, Ben Lyons of the Golden Globes, coming up this Sunday on NBC. Ben, it's good to have your astute judgment and expertise here in studio with us on Cinephile.
Happy New Year, buddy. Happy to be here. Happy to be talking all things awards. You know, the awards circuit really feeds a lot of people in Hollywood, not just the stars, but lowly entertainment news reporters as well, and stylists and makeup artists and chefs. So the awards business is in full swing with the Golden Globes.
A question that I've often wanted to ask you, I pepper you with questions every time I see you. What actor or actress, director, writer have you interviewed the most, and how many times?
That's a great question. I kind of hit the Shia LaBeouf run when he was knocking out big movies like Wall Street and Transformers and Eagle Eye and Disturbia, and we just had a fun dance. And then he got to a place where he said, I'm not talking to anybody else at the E! Channel. So I've probably sat with that dude and I guess Kristen Stewart as well, because of Twilight, 20, 25 times over the years, all over the world.
That's incredible. Yeah. Thanks to Carlton Gillespie, our talent producer, booker, who got us a couple of Golden Globe nominees. Willem Dafoe, who's up for Best Supporting Actor, and Richard Jenkins as well for Shape of Water. So Carlton's getting it done. So here's what we're going to do for the special edition of Cinephile, because Ben is here, Dan Stanzik, our loyal producer, is going to go through all the categories. So Dan will give the category, give the nominees, and then Ben and I will give who should win and who will win.
And just want to preface, it's the Golden Globes, the same voting body that said The Tourist with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie was a comedy. This is the same group of foreign journalists who said, you know what? We should honor Kevin Connolly for his work on Entourage. He's a best actor. Yes, absolutely.
Oscars, the Academy, is comprised of like 5,000 people. The Hollywood Foreign Press, which is one of the Golden Globes, I believe is 53 people.
Yes. One of them told me once that I was not able to understand Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock in The Proposal because I wasn't Jewish. Which was interesting, considering I don't think Ryan Reynolds...
Never the tribe either.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes, the Hollywood Foreign Press, you know, a wacky, eccentric group that likes to be catered to. Sharon Stone famously busted many years ago for, you know, giving them bracelets. And I've been to lots of screenings. I've been to Hollywood Foreign Press screenings. There's a difference in the catering. Let's just put it that way. So, all right.
I was going to say, one of the best parts of the ceremony is everybody's blitzed. Right. Like, that's why Gervais is such a great host.
That said, let's get into these predictions.
All right, Dan. All right. How do you guys want to do this? Which, you want to go for the heavy hitters right off the bat? You want to do best motion picture drama, or do you want to do some of the acting categories? Adnan, your name on the podcast, you pick.
Let's go with acting categories first.
We're going to go with actresses, ladies first.
Yeah.
Best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. Jessica Chastain, Molly's Game. Sally Hawkins, The Shape of Water. Frances McDormand, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Meryl Streep, of course, The Post. And Michelle Williams, All the Money in the World.
All right. Lead us off, Ben.
Frances McDormand in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri is the only actress on the planet I can imagine playing that role. She brings so much pain to it, yet there's this humor and this strange undertone that kind of malaise, like the malaise on the top of the entire performance in the film. The scene where she says, I haven't seen the dentist all day with her teeth. I mean, that is just incredible and kind of like a not a lifetime achievement, but someone who's been, you know, nominated in the past, I'm sure many times, and is one of the best doing it. That's the performance of the year, I think.
I think McDormand is fabulous. I echo all of your sentiments. I wish I could do an impression as good as yours. I think she should win. It's her best performance as Fargo. Like you said, she's fearless and really balances the comedy and the drama in a great script by Martin McDonagh. I think she should win. I think the winner who is going to win, it's Hollywood Foreign Press. They love big stars, but they also love emphasis on foreign press. Sally Hawkins will win for The Shape of Water, playing a mute woman who falls in love with an amphibian creature. Shape of Water, huge right now with the critic circuit. It got 7 Golden Globe nominations. I think Hawkins edges out McDormand and Meryl Streep.
Wow. Now, you don't think Frances McDormand has one of those performances like the year Sandra Bullock was nominated for The Blind Side and every award went to her, or when Forest Whitaker won for Idi Amin in The King of Scotland, where every 2 weeks it seems like we put on tuxedos and clap for Forest Whitaker, right? I think it could be one of those sweeps for Frances McDormand.
So you think should and will be McDormand. Okay. Yeah. Next up, Danny.
All right. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical or comedy. The Dame, Judi Dench in Victoria and Abdul. Helen Mirren, The Leisure Seeker. Margot Robbie, friend of the podcast. I, Tanya. I don't know how to pronounce her name, but the Irish actress, something Ronan.
From Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan. Yeah, Irishman, see, she's Irish. Yeah, she was in, what was it?
The movie you love, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yeah.
Inertia, Saoirse. You'll never forget it. You're good. Right. You're locked in.
Yeah, Saoirse. And Emma Stone, Battle of the Sexes.
You know, I love me some Emma Stone. I thought some of those intimate scenes where she's sort of revealing a side of herself, of Billie Jean King, that she's finding her sexuality in these really pivotal life moments, grounded that film. I'm happy she got nominated. Although I don't really see it as a comedy. And that's what's always funny about this category. I think Margot Robbie should win for playing a real life woman and bringing such a complex side of her to life, because we only kind of know her in one way through the, you know, ESPN 30 for 30s. And we think of her as this villain, and here you are rooting for her in this really complex role. But like you're thinking of Sally Hawkins, this is the Hollywood Foreign Press, and I know Margot Robbie is a foreigner, but I'm going to go with Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, which is also going to win for Best Comedy. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Echo your sentiments. I think Margot Robbie should win. Fabulous performance. She's gone from this ingenue in Wolf of Wall Street to now a really star actress. I mean, she's the best part of Suicide Squad. Like you said, she holds I, Tanya together. It's a powerful performance. She reinvents what I think the images of Tanya Harding. But Saoirse Ronan right now riding a wave. Lady Bird, I think, is obviously 99% right now. Rotten Tomatoes, it was originally at 100%. I think she will win for best performance by an actress, motion picture, musical, or comedy.
All right, they kind of do the supporting actresses dirty here. There's separate categories for best actress. There's only one category for supporting actress. So best performance by an actress in a supporting role in motion picture.
No, I was going to, again, say, it's the Hollywood Foreign Press and the Golden Globes. So we're all analyzing it, the X's and O's, who got
the
snubbed.
The math just doesn't add up to me. Okay, Mary J. Blige, Mudbound. Another name I can't pronounce for Downsizing.
Hung Chow,
thank you. Allison Janney, I, Tanya. Laurie Metcalf, Lady Bird, and Octavia Spencer, The Shape of Water.
Really happy to see Mary J. Blige get a nomination here for Mudbound, a film that came out of Sundance and has kind of gotten lost in a little of the awards stuff because it's a Netflix movie and that still isn't fully accepted yet. But her performance is excellent, and I hope to see a lot more MJB down the road. But Allison Janney, I, Tanya, that is going to win her the Academy Award. Right. She will win. She should win. She's a favorite of the Hollywood Foreign Press from all her years on The West Wing. She's, you know, she's Allison Janney. I mean, she's incredible in that film. And I don't see them giving out 2 acting performances for that movie. Mm-hmm. So I see Margot Robbie missing out, going to Saoirse Ronan, and then Allison Janney winning it for supporting.
I like your logic, and I love Allison Janney. I thought she was brilliant. And I, Tanya, like you said, the Hollywood Foreign Press does like her a lot. She can do comedy, she can do drama, and she expertly weaves both. And I, Tanya, I mean, she's the mother from hell, but you actually laugh along with her because of the fact that the way Craig Gillespie does the film, the way it breaks the fourth wall, it's actually got a bird on her shoulder. I mean, she's despicable and enjoyable and entertaining at the same time. But I think Laurie Metcalf is going to win for Lady Bird. I think right now she's the critical favorite. I think she's going to win the Oscar for actress. So I think Janney should win by a hair, but I think Metcalf will actually win.
So Lady Bird sweep. You see them winning for Saoirse Ronan and Laurie Metcalf.
That's correct.
All right, on to the men. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. Timothée Chalamet. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Crushed it. Call Me by Your Name. Daniel Day-Lewis, Phantom Thread, Tom Hanks, The Post, Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour, and my guy,
yes,
Denzel Washington, Roman J. Israel.
Listen, did you see the film?
No, that's his guy.
It's still
Ben
my
liked
guy,
it.
Though.
Come on, Ben. Ben liked it.
One of the only people who liked that movie and that performance, I think. You know, he built the character from scratch. It's not based on a true story or anything. And you learn a lot about him without even seeing him on screen, just the way he reads that letter in the beginning of the movie. You're like, this guy just thinks differently. Mm-hmm. But that said, I think it's going to go to Gary Oldman, who was the front runner at the beginning of the awards race, has kind of fallen a little bit out of favor. Not as many people gravitating to the film itself, but taking on such an iconic role and doing it as only Gary Oldman can. I think he's going to win. And actually, I think he should win.
Yes.
But again, it's the Hollywood Foreign Press and it's going to get goofy. So Timothée Chalamet, they love the film. Call Me By Your Name, a beautiful performance, a love story of Armie Hammer and Timothée's character. And when is the film set?
It's like the 1970s.
70s or 80s in Italy. I think it's 1983.
Yeah, 83.
Yeah, I could see Timothée Chalamet in a star-turning performance winning at the Golden Globe.
To your point, New York film critics gave Timothée Chalamet Best Actor. L.A. film critics gave him Best Actor. So I agree with you. It's not like Gary Oldman's an absolute lock, but I do think he wins Darkest Hour, Hollywood Foreign Press, English actor, playing Winston Churchill. Like you said, the film hasn't gotten as much acclaim as his performance, but he's a talented actor. He's been great for so many years. You once tweeted me, give me your top five Gary Oldman performances. And I said to you, can I include directorial efforts? Because nail by mouth. And you said, such an Adnan answer. But you let it pass. I think you just wanted to get Fifth Element in there, which I did have in the top five.
He's great in that movie. I would like to see a spin-off movie with Gary Oldman's Fifth Element backstory. How did he get his face with a piece of plastic on it?
DDL, the best. Phantom Thread. Maybe an upset, but no, I don't think it's going to. Phantom Thread not getting nearly as much buzz as I'd hope for. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, the best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical or comedy. Steve Carell, Battle of the Sexes. Another name I can't pronounce for Baby Driver.
Ansel Elgort, big Knicks fan. Big Knicks fan. Loves Porzingis. Yes.
By the way, speaking of the Knicks, was it Timothée Chalamet? Is that like our old former Nick Timothée great Timothée Mozgov?
It was not Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, but it was Timothée. Okay, all right. Carry on.
Maybe they'll get a Golden Globes after party. Timothée, meet Timothée.
All right, it's like Timothée, Uma
Timothée.
Oprah thing.
Exactly. Uma Oprah, Timothée. Only on Cinephile.
Always Nick's talk here. James Franco for The Disaster Artist, Hugh Jackman for The Greatest Showman, and Daniel
Kaluuya.
Thank you for Get Out.
Have you seen The Room?
So this is great. Rick Passmore, friend of the podcast, gave me The Room and he gave me the book, The Disaster Artist. And he said, you got to do both before you see the movie. So I watched the movie and now I have a much greater understanding of how crazy Wiseau is. And then I read the book and then I saw The Disaster Artist.
Because when you watch James Franco as this guy, Tommy, who spent $6 million of his own money to make a movie that only made sense in his head, his performance is flawless. The cadence, the mannerisms, his body, his tone, everything. And first of all, that movie opens with like a 20-minute love scene for no reason. You don't even know who the characters are.
Yeah, in The Room, there's like three softcore porn scenes.
And I went and saw Jamie Lynn Sigler took me to a midnight screening of The Room with a whole crew of us back in like 08 or 09. And you went to the Sunset Lemley on Sunset and Crescent Heights. And their audience cues, it's become this Rocky Horror motion picture cult thing. Right. You throw spoons every time certain characters walk into the frame and then you yell things. And what's ultimately left is this amazing movie going experience that's filled with heart and emotion, even if it's so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
But Franco's performance, I think he wins. I think he should win. I hope he gets the Oscar nom. And this guy, Tommy, is going to be at the Golden Globes. He's going to be at the Oscars. He made it. Like, it took a weird roundabout way for him to get there.
Right.
But he got there, and Franco nails it.
I'm partial to Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out. I hope the movie doesn't get ignored. Jordan Peele got ignored, obviously, for Best Director at the Golden Globes. But I really did like his performance. Hopefully he's an actor that gives us more work like that, because, you know, his astonishment at the reveal of what's going on, I think, is really well played by him, and his initial reluctance to meet Bradley Whitford and you know, meeting his parents, all that stuff. He's really good in it. I just want to mention him. But Franco should win, will win. As you said, Disaster Artist, in many ways, a modern-day Ed Wood, right? Story about a horrific movie. I think the Hollywood Foreign Press is going to love this story. And Franco's been very eager to promote it. He's doing every talk show known to man. he's obviously very proud of his work in it. And you're right. If you watch Wiseau and then you watch Franco, it's stunning how he gets the accent and just the weird kind of ramblings that he does.
And stay for the credits. They go frame by frame, the original movie and this movie. And it's like Ari Grainer sitting in that bed looking just like that weird woman. It's so good. It's so weird.
A disaster artist.
All right, best performance by an actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. I think this is the most stacked category, and I could be wrong. But Willem Dafoe, The Florida Project, Armie Hammer for Call Me By Your Name, Richard Jenkins, our guy on the podcast, The Shape of Water, Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World, and Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
You're absolutely right, Stanley. This is a star-studded category, a lot of very accomplished award-winning actors. I'm going to go with the guy whose character of all the roles nominated goes through the largest arc and the most emotional swing out of any of the performances, and that's Sam Rockwell in Three Billboards. I mean, this guy goes from being this dim-witted, racist, filled with hate, down on his luck cop who somehow, I'm not going to give it away, finds redemption, finds the larger meaning, finds his place in the world, which essentially is what we're all looking for. Mm-hmm. And he does such an amazing job of showing this character's flaws, but also you're able to peel those away and find the good in him. And I love Sam Rockwell. It's a long time coming. And I think he'll win.
Yeah, somebody the other day, I think he's an underrated actor, and he goes, I don't think he's underrated. He's underutilized. Like, Sam Rockwell's one of those guys that he should get more parts like this. And Martin McDonagh is that rare writer-director who really sees that. He gave him a great role in Seven Psychopaths. They did a stage play together, and he writes great roles for Rockwell. Sometimes that's what you need for an actor. You need somebody who can give you that good meat. And like you said, that arc where he goes from this racist mama's boy to somebody that you have empathy with, that's pretty astonishing for an actor to be able to go through that transformation. However, I think the actor that should win and that will win, longtime Hollywood great, Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project. That movie, he's the only one carrying the torch for this movie. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Scott Fiver from The Hollywood Reporter called it a modern-day Slumdog Millionaire, an American version of it. But I think it's a really special movie from Sean Baker. It looks at underprivileged people, working class in Florida, who often do not get shown on the silver screen. And Dafoe is the heart of the movie. He is this well-meaning, heroic character. As we said to him on the podcast, you know, that's real heroism. It's not superheroes. It's the guy who's just trying to get the cable fixed for his employees, and he has a soft spot for this horrific mother and her daughter because he's just a good dude and he's looking out for the kids. The Florida Project, he should win, and I think he will win.
Sometimes the win is the nomination. Like a film of that size, right, and subject matter and lack of star power, the nomination gets the attention, and right, Dafoe is walking the carpet and people are talking Florida Project, and that's kind of oftentimes where the train stops.
Okay. Let's see what happens. Go ahead, Dan.
All right. Do you want to do screenplay or director before we get to best picture?
We'll do screenplay. Screenplay, then director.
Screenplay. Okay.
All right.
Let me find it. Here we go. Best screenplay, motion picture. Guillermo del Toro and Vanessa Taylor for The Shape of Water. Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird. Liz Hannah and Josh Singer for The Post. Martin McDonagh for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And Aaron Sorkin, of course, for Molly's Game.
This is a great category. Any other year, I would just see Aaron Sorkin on a list and be like, oh yeah, Aaron Sorkin, check, 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 Hollywood Foreign Press. Yep, that's locked in. And interesting choice for him directing wise for the first time after so many years. He's like, oh, I could have done all these political movies. I'll do a movie about a woman who's doing underground poker with some celebrities. Yeah. All right, it's kind of a weird choice.
You and I had this similar feel to it. Like, it's a good movie, but why did he choose this to make his directorial debut?
I would like to think that the Hollywood Foreign Press would have honored Greta Gerwig for directing, not just writing.
Yep.
So I think, again, for her getting acknowledged for her work, that's a win. And I think Martin McDonagh is such a tremendous screenplay that no matter how zany, how crazy, how goofy the Hollywood Foreign Press is, like, they can't ignore the depth and the talent that is shown in that piece of work. So I'm going to go with Martin McDonagh for Three Billboards.
I love McDonagh's script. It's my favorite script of the year.
It's going to win the Oscar. You know that, right?
But I think Greta Gerwig might come up with the Oscar here because I think
I know we're talking Globes, but you think down the road to the Oscars.
Because I think that right now she's definitely facing, like you said, she should have probably been nominated for director, although I haven't seen All the Money in the World. But Ridley Scott's a nomination. You go, okay, maybe that's just Hollywood Foreign Press going with the stars. So I think they may go, you know what, let's give Gerwig the screenplay Golden Globe, and that may lead to the Oscar. But I'm not certain who wins the Oscar for screenplay. It's either going to be McDonagh or Gerwig, and I think right now it's almost too close to call. I think McDonagh should win, but I'm going to lean Gerwig wins Lady Bird here at Screenplay at the Golden Globes.
What do you got next?
Definitely, I don't think Sorkin doesn't.
Yeah. She's amazing, by the way. Like, and then Greta Gerwig has been making quality work for a long time now. All her Noah Baumbach stuff.
And, nice.
And, yeah.
Shout out Noah Baumbach. Yes. If Claire Atkins is listening, she loves Noah Baumbach.
All right. We're going to director. It's on your front page. We're a little out of order here, but, you know.
It's in a file.
So best director, motion picture. Some of the same names you just heard.
Mm-hmm.
Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. Martin McDonagh, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk. Ridley Scott, All the Money in the World. And Steven Spielberg for The Post.
This is the category that got the most attention when the nominations came out because of the snubs.
Yeah.
Because Jordan Peele didn't get a nomination, because Greta Gerwig didn't get a nomination, and you saw, you know, Hollywood staples like Ridley Scott and Steven Spielberg get noms for probably mediocre work, and you look at their entire bodies of work as filmmakers, mm-hmm. which is a real shame because the Hollywood Foreign Press, to their credit, has been early on honoring young talent and recognizing young talent, especially in the TV side of things.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I think it's Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk. I think he should win. I think he will win. Guillermo del Toro as a dark side. You know, if people really respect, if you see Sally Hawkins win early in the night, or maybe there's a Shape of Water thing going on with the mm-hmm. Hollywood Foreign Press and they just love the movie, so they honor GDT. But I'm going to go with Nolan. I think he should win. I think he will win.
Christopher Nolan should win. But I think Guillermo del Toro is going to pull off the upset for The Shape of Water. Led with the most nominations with 7. People who see the movie really love the movie. It's really a movie for cinephiles. It's an enchanting fable. It's risky. It's audacious. I think Nolan gets hurt by the fact his movie came out in July. It is the foreign press, though, so obviously being a British guy, but obviously del Toro is Mexican. So it's not like, you know, one has an edge when it comes to necessarily with the foreign press. So I think Nolan, listen, he might still win the Oscar for directing because, like you said, he's been ignored for so many years. He probably should have already won an Oscar by now, for God's sakes. He should at least be nominated, which he will be. But I think Nolan should win because Dunkirk is such an amazing spectacle. But I think Del Toro will win. And I don't necessarily have a quibble with that because I did think Del Toro is a visionary filmmaker and it's a beautiful film.
Ben, I know you live in these Hollywood circles. Is GDT that common for Guillermo del Toro? Is that like calling Porzingis KP?
Nice.
That came out. My friend Russell was his assistant for like 10 years.
I hadn't heard
so
that.
It'd be like, hey, we're going to dinner. He's like, I can't. GDT's got me working. I'm like, okay. So it's just become part of my life.
We're using it now.
Understandable. GDT it is.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
If you're in the biz, you know it's GDT.
Okay. We'll work our way up the sheet here. Best motion picture, musical or comedy. The Disaster Artist, Get Out, The Greatest Showman, I, Tonya, and Lady Bird.
I love movies about young people finding themselves. I love movies set in the senior year of high school. That is such a transitional time in a young person's life and something we can all think back on. And Lady Bird, bringing Greta Gerwig's high school experience to life in Sacramento, I think is filled with such heart and humor and is hands down, I think, the best movie on this list of nominated films. And the one of the only films that truly is a motion picture, comedy, or musical. Oftentimes, it's films like Get Out or I, Tonya. That can be a little...
Real laugh fest, Get Out.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm going to go with Lady Bird. It will win. It should win. And a big shout out to The Big Sick, which would have been perfect.
Glaring omission.
For this category.
A true comedy, which fulfills all the requirements of such. Thank you for mentioning the fact The Big Sick was ignored. Lady Bird should win. As you said, it's about adolescent angst, which doesn't sound pleasant, and yet it's so smart and so funny. A.O. Scott wrote a great review of the movie. If you haven't seen his review, you should read it. He says every line of the movie sounds real. You know, that we always want to say about dialogue. Nothing sounds artificial, and that's the case in Greta Gerwig's film. So I think Lady Bird should win, and I think it will win.
All right. I don't have a drum roll. I probably should, but this is the last one. Best motion picture drama. For the record, before we continue, Ben thought this would take 10 minutes. I laughed at him. I took a hard over on that.
What are we at, 20?
A lot longer than 10. That's all I know. 20, yeah. So best motion picture for drama, Call Me By Your Name, Dunkirk, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Before Ben gives his picks, pretty wide open race right now. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. In years past, especially this time of year, you'd say, okay, it's really going to come down to one of these two movies. And oftentimes it had been, you know, a Little Miss Sunshine type of year where that's in the comedy category and something else is in the drama. And that creates sort of a race to the Oscar. Mm-hmm. Here we're all over the place. Like, we're coming out of the new year hot. We had no idea which way this thing's going. So I'm leaning, you know, I think Three Billboards should win.
I'm with you on that.
It's just such a, I can't even describe the movie when people have been asking me about it who haven't seen it.
Stanza, by the way, was not crazy about it. So you have to sell him on this. He did not You and I are raving.
Maybe
about it.
Hang on. Maybe Adnan just hyped it up too much. I saw it after I heard his reviews, so I hear the four Maple Leafs, and I expect to be wowed.
Sure. Yeah, but
and
I mean,
there was I had some nitpicks with the film.
Have you ever seen a movie like that before?
No.
So it's a film you've never seen anything like it before, and you were not floored.
Yeah, I wasn't floored.
Man, yeah, you're a tough 10 bucks
I'm
over there,
tough
huh?
to please. Yeah,
wasn't crazy about Rockwell's character.
Yeah, like I didn't find him to be. He's not a likable character. Obviously, I don't
throws
the
guy
him,
out of a window.
Yeah, yeah. I felt bad for that guy, the advertising
exactly.
guy.
By
my
the
goodness.
Way,
when that, then, hold on, and, when that guy comes back around, yeah. What a great moment that is.
The hospital, right?
Ooh.
Yeah, that, and it's good. Yeah, okay.
All right,
my big quibble. We'll talk off the air. I have a big quibble with it.
And like a spoiler alert,
a big quibble with you using the word quibble.
Oh, that's in the vernacular. That's a colloquialism for the day.
All right, we'll talk some three billboards after the show. I think it should win. And Adnan, I was gonna say Dunkirk will win, but after doing this podcast with you and realizing,
Dunkirk's
you know what,
not win.
The Shape of Water is the movie that they're actually gonna jump all over because, like you said, nominated 7 times. It's so out there and different. I could see that winning the Golden Globes. So I'm going to go with The Shape of Water.
Three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri should win, although for me it's a toss of whether or not it's Shape of Water, which I also loved as much as that film, and I think Shape of Water will win Guillermo del Toro's Beauty and the Beast modern-day version if the Beast never had to change in anyone else. Different, original, audacious. But watch out for all those in a political bent for the Post. Maybe they say, you know what, let's just go ahead and give a spotlight-esque, you know, it's in the media, just let's just taunt Trump. I wouldn't be surprised the Post, but the problem here is, Ben, you know this, if you don't win anything else, pretty rare that all of a sudden then you win Best Picture, and I don't see the Post winning anything else of consequence. But how about that? Imagine if Lady Bird, which I've got winning, you know, musical or comedy, I've got Gerwig winning, I've got Saoirse Ronan winning, I've got Laurie Metcalf winning, and then imagine if, you know, Best Actor is Oldman, Best Actress, you know, is not going to be... one of those, you know, probably
Frances McDormand.
Right. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Best Picture, The Post.
Yeah. The same way I reacted to you saying it just now on the podcast with my face curling up and being like, what? What is he talking about? That's often the feeling I have when we leave the Golden Globes. Like, I've covered the Globes 10 or 11 times over the years, and always at the end of the night, I'm like, huh? That's shaked out kind of weird. So maybe you're onto something with this line of reasoning.
I think it's Shape of Water, but watch it. When they open up the envelope, The Post, you'll go, what? But it's not going to be Dunkirk, which it's a shame. You and I both liked it a lot. I don't think it's going to
do
very well at all.
Dunkirk gets boxed out, you think?
Yeah, I think it gets boxed out completely. Right. Now, Oscar-wise, I think Nolan might still win the director Oscar, but we'll see. All right, thanks so much for listening to Cinephile Special Edition here at the Golden Globes. Ben, you're the best. Thanks for coming by.
See you at Sundance, dude.
Absolutely, yes. Get the Sundance
look at them
going.
All fired up.
And we'll see you at the movies.
Don't miss out on the next episode of Cinephile. Subscribe to the Adnan Virk Movie Podcast by clicking the Listen tab in the ESPN app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text Thin to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text Thin to 200-300. That's Thin to 200-300. Thin to 200-300.